want to thank the Tarragons for their sponsorship. Important scheduling note, there is no shiur the next 3 weeks. Beyond that, check your email and the shul bulletin. But between weddings and vacation, habah aleinu l'tova, there will be no shiur the next 3 weeks. Tonight's topic is the mitzvah of tzitzis. Parsha Shlach is a jam-packed parsha. The real highlight, of course, of the parsha, as everyone knows, is the sugya of the mitzvah of challah. Okay. I wanted to give the shiur about that, but the early reviews were not positive. I'm telling you guys, it's so exciting, challah. You don't realize what you're missing. It's not just to eat, it's also to learn. But the I saw some people during the weekend. I told them that I wanted to speak a challah, and they said no.
The focus group
did not go well. But the mitzvah of tzitzis is a very fascinating one. It's really the maftir, the end of the parsha, is the mitzvah of tzitzis. There are source sheets here for anyone who wants to help follow along this year. The Torah tells us at the end of Parak Tezvav, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe Leimor Dabra Bnei Yisrael Marta Aleihem V'Asu Lahem Tzitzis Al Kanfei Bigdeihem L'Dorosam." You have to make tzitzis on the corners of your clothing for all generations. V'Nasnu Al Tzitzis Al Kanaf Pesil Techeles. As another possible topic, which I'm not going to speak about tonight, the whole issue of Techeles. Shamre is one of the Techeles capitals of North America, actually. So I figure there are other people here who probably know about it actually better than I do, as someone who does not wear Techeles. You have to have these tzitzis. The re'isim also, you have to see these tzitzis. So the re'isim also, again, topics we're not discussing, just to give you a sense of how jam-packed the pasuk is. First of all, the halacha is from the Gemara that tells you that there's something called ksus yom versus ksus laila. A famous machlokas, Rambam and the Rush, what that means. But beyond that, fascinatingly, you have the extra drasha, which I actually had given thought to speaking about. I just ran out of time and space on the Marmakoma sheet. The whole idea that some poskim have that you should wear your tzitzis out comes from this pasuk. It's a controversial thing. There are other poskim who are against wearing your tzitzis out. But it comes from this pasuk of Re'isam Oso. Again, we'll have to makom hinichu lanu for next year, Mirz Hashem. V'zchartem is kol mitzvos Hashem, and you'll hopefully this way remember all the mitzvos of Hashem. I want to get back to that shortly. V'asisam osam, v'lo sasurach levavach reinechem. This will help you not stray after the lusts of your heart or your eyes. Asher etem zoni ma'achareihem. And finally, l'man tizkru, v'asisam kol mitzvos avizim kereshim l'lechechem. You'll remember Hashem and His mitzvos. You'll become kadosh. Ani Hashem l'lechechem, asher etzeizchem yeretz Yisrael, l'yos kamlohim, ani Hashem l'lechechem. So if you look at the Mefarshim here again, I just put some of the Mefarshim Chumash on the Mar Mekomashi just to see. Rashi has a very interesting discussion, and the Ramban, and the Seforno, all discuss it. Just, it's worth noting, if you want one Mar Mekom specifically, look at the Eben Ezra. Then Eben Ezra points out that even though Mida Araisa, we have the Lesate Batzitas, we have a Talis Godol, which is the Iker Mitzvah, but he points out, which we only wear the Arminig is during davening, but he points out to Eben Ezra that really, it's more appropriate to wear tzitzis dafka when you're not davening, because when you're davening, you're already involved in something that's ritualistic, that's spiritual, that's religious. The whole point of tzitzis or isim also, to remind you, is when you're out in the field and you're working, that's bedafka when you're supposed to, again, remember this entire gamut of Torah and mitzvos. So Rashi sets us up for our first basic topic, is on Pasuk Mem Aleph. Rashi quotes from the Rebbeim, "Mi Yisodo Shel Rabbeinu Moshe Hadarshan Hitakti." What does Rabbeinu Moshe Hadarshan have the following? What's the context? What are the topics that come right before Tzitzis? So you have the Chil Shabbos of the Mekoshes Eitzim, and then you have, even before that, the issues of Avodah Zarah, and even, just intriguingly enough, unintentional, perhaps accidental Avodah Zarah. You have the issue of Avodah Zarah, then Chil Shabbos, then Tzitzis. Says Rav Moshe Hadarshan, "Lama nisbacha parshas Mekoshesh leparshas Avodah Zarah? Lomar shamechal as Hashabbos ki ilu oved Avodah Zarah. Sh'af hi shkula kechol hamitzvos." Avodah Zarah is a rejection of the entire Torah. Shabbos, af hi shkula kechol hamitzvos. If you reject Shabbos, if you're mechal Shabbos, it's ki ilu you reject the whole Torah, it's ki ilu you're mechal Shabbos. And then he says, here's the bigger chiddush, though that we're probably all familiar with. Then the biggest chiddush, v'af parsha tzitzis. So once the dominoes are falling, they fall all the way to the end of the parsha. Even tzitzis, l'kach nismachala elu, v'sha'af hi shkula keneged kol ha-mitzvos. Even the mitzvah of tzitzis, the kiyum is like you're doing all the mitzvahs of Shabbat Torah. Shemar v'sizim as kumas osai, as the pasuk. So the pasuk was saying you should remember, but do the mitzvos. But in a homiletical way, hashkafically, says in Marsha Darshan, Rashi quotes, it's as if you are, so to speak, keeping all of the mitzvos. L'chaora, though, we could ask a simple question on this Rashi. Avodah Zarah is an absolute Isser. Shabbos is an absolute Chiyuv / Isser. Tzitzis does not appear to belong. Is there an absolute obligation to wear tzitzis? Well, perhaps maybe this is the implication that there is. But L'chora, Shabbos, Avodah Zarah, those are big ones. And forget big, they're just obligatory. Where does tzitzis fit in? And the truth is, the Gemara Menachos and Daf Mem Aleph and Aleph asks rhetorically, is it possible that someone who's not wearing Dalet Kanfus, a four-cornered garment, is obligated in tzitzis? The answer is, of course not. It's not possible. If you're not wearing a beged of four corners, you're not chayiv. The Gemara then relates, interestingly enough though, the Rav Katina, right? A name that, not the most well-known name, but a name we've all heard before. He wore special clothes to avoid having an obligation in tzitzis. However, they point out that this was not appropriate. He was harshly rebuked for this practice. So then he responded to them, is there any mitzvah for not fulfilling a mitzvah asei, which is not even a chiyuv? I mean, like, what are you giving me all over me for? And he was responded that nevertheless, true, there's no chiyuv, but to go out of your way to maneuver, right? All high school students, shtam from the Rav Katina, to go out of your way not to wear tzitzis. But Rebbe, am I chayiv? So they said, go out of your way not to wear that, the Gemara says, is a problem.
But they don't go out of their way not to. I mean,
okay. You know, Enechanami. So maybe they're even better. Then the Gemara adds a last point. Not only should you not go out of your way, but at a time of whatever this means, divine anger, when it's not Shas HaChesed, so to speak, then in particular, you could get punished, Taka, for intentionally avoiding a mitzvah saseh. So, how to know when is a Shas anger or not, I don't know. But then, just not putting on the Dalet Kanfus, that's already intentional. So the Gemara in the Tosfos in Erchin, right in Daf Beis on the Beis, explains the following. He says, listen, even this Gemara with Rav Katina, that only applies, and Kal v'chomer is Bizmanenu, when it's a time where everyone is wearing Dalet Kanfus, everyone is wearing tzitzis, and you go out of your way to be an iconoclast, so to speak. You're going to be different than everyone. You're not going to wear tzitzis. However, if you're living in a dor or a generation or a time or a place where people generally don't wear Dalet Kanfus, then Enchanami, he says, you see from this Gemara, and it's just intuitive, really. It's a nice mitzvah to do, but there would be even no punishment to do that. So the Shaila is there an obligation? Is there not an obligation? If everyone else is doing it, does that make it an obligation on me? So further, another Gemara, which is still going to be unclear, the Gemara in Pesachim, end of Pesach Pesachim, Daf Kufyud Gimel on the base, has a list, if you remember, if you've seen that Gemara, it has a list of different things. These three do this, these seven do that. So on the list of people that Hashem puts in Chayrem, not a good list to be on, not a good list to be on. Right in the middle of that list, says the Torah, says the Gemara, is someone who doesn't wear tzitzis. So Tosfos there, right on that daf, he says that's only referring to someone who's wearing Dalet Kanfus, but not wearing tzitzis on that. But if you're not even wearing Dalet Kanfus at all, then that's not what the Gemara is saying. That's the first man d'amar in Tosfos. Then the second one, Dabur and Tavis says, no, come on, that's obvious. Then you're Mamash being Mevatel and Mrs. Asay. That's an Isser. But the point of the Gemara is, no, someone goes out of their way not to wear Dalet Kanfus. So you think, you're getting away with it, you're not wearing Dalet Kanfus, you're Potter. Says, no, that is even included in this very harsh Gemara. So what do we make of these two Gemaras? This Gemara in Menachos and this Gemara in Psachim, the Tosfos in Erchin. We've seen that there are certain severe times of divine anger, the Gemara says, when you might be punished for not wearing tzitzis. Furthermore, if you go out of your way where everyone else at a time where everyone else is doing it and you don't, that's not a good thing. The Gemara Psachim, depending on 2 days and Tosfos, what it's referring to, not wearing tzitzis in a certain context, you're also going to be put in cheirim by the Rabban Shlolom. But if you add all of that up, it's powerful, it would make good for a good Musa Shmuz. But l'chora, if you add all that up, you're still a little short of it being a chiyuv. No one says you're obligated to wear tzitzis. No one says you're obligated to wear tzitzis. The answer is, mida oraisa, it would appear, that you aren't. So the it gets a little bit muddled, though. Muddled first on the Rabbanan level, if you will, because we haven't seen a chi of the Rabbanan either. We've just seen harsh criticism in certain contexts. And perhaps, with a little confusion even in the Rambam, perhaps maybe even the Raisa, perhaps. So it gets muddled, perhaps the most well-known, and the truth of the matter is sometimes if you ask, right, certain times people ask the Rebbeim, so why do I have to? So what's the most common answer to that question? Why are you obligated to wear tzitzis?
How dare you ask?
I want you to know there have been many Rebbeim, unfortunately, who did respond like that. That's a much bigger problem. A much bigger problem. I was in a shir, ninth grade. They had all the fathers. Can you imagine? This is how obtuse this Rebbe was, because all the parents were there. It was a Sunday morning learning with the fathers. They had chavrusa time, and then came the time for the shir. And read the Gemara. Boy raises his hand, asks a question on the Gemara. Explodes. How dare you ask? Do you know how many... Do you see the Tosus ask that question? No. Do you know how brilliant Tosus was? How many hours Tosus spent on that Gemara? And he didn't ask the question. That's why you asking the question. Whatever. Listen, we could stop the shir right now. I bet you each one of us have, and the older ones may even have multiple stories. I certainly have multiple stories of horror stories. Okay. I'm sure they meant L'Shem Shemayim, but not everyone who was in front of a classroom was meant to be. What's the answer, though? What? No? So aside from the patch, so the Rebbeim will answer. What do they tell the Talmud? Why do you have to wear tzitzis? That's not why you have to. That's why you should. I'm asking you. Huh? That's a good idea, but look, so why didn't the Gemara say you're chayiv? The Gemara never says you're chayiv.
So you have to be married if we're
tall. Why? And if you're German?
When you're married.
Okay, close. Why do you have to wear a yarmulke? Similar shayla. So the Or Zeruah, the mocker for this, is an Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah, on the later Germanic Rishonim, in Hilchos Birchas Hamotzi. Ma inyan Birchas Hamotzi, Eitzel Tzitzis, the answer is nothing. But there is where he has his discussion. Many of the Rishonim in different places have important, well-known discussions about Nusach of Brachos. Why le for certain things? Why al natilas lulav? Why le hadlik ner? I've mentioned in this shir, I think in previous shirim, the famous shuvah of the Rashbah, Simon Yud Ches. That's the most well-known of all the Rishonim, who gives you a list. These are the reasons for these. So yes, this back of a whole list. But the other Rishonim, all the Rishonim in one place or another, discuss it. So it happens to be on Hilchos Birchas Hamotzi, that's where the Or Zeruah decided to have his discussion. And he has the following yisod. He says, lo, for example, lo haniyach tefillin, that's always used when there is an absolute chiyuv to do something. You got to wear tefillin. You don't have a choice. You have to wear tefillin every single day. Lo haniyach tefillin. However, he says, by contrast, when do we use the al? For example, al netzilas yadayim. You don't have to have bread. If you want to have bread, you'll have to wash. That's why we have an al. But it's not necessarily obligatory. So therefore, he asks, based on his own rules, so why is it his atef betzitzis? Doesn't that go against all the implications of the Gemara, that there's no chiyuv, and yet it's his atef, which he holds, implies a chiyuv? So he answers, anachinami, that Chazal indeed instituted a chiyuv. That, whether you want to call it minig, or just independent issa de rabbanon, it doesn't sound like a mitzvah de rabbanon the way we think of it. Well, we're going to get to the Rambam Shita. We didn't get to the Rambam yet. And the Rambam himself is the most muddled of all the Rishonim on this. But that's what the Or Zeruah says. The Or Zeruah says, Chazal made an obligation to do the mitzvah. That is number one. And number two, again, these are the different variations as well. Once it became a custom to make a point of wearing Dalet Kanfas, as it's such as us, in order to obligate ourselves in mitzvos, then it automatically became a chiyuv. He used this, L'moshama Davidoma, Ma'ariv. Right? It's a good smichas parsha, we just David Ma'ariv. So the Gemara famously says, this was a shir, right? We did this, what was it, Vayetzei, I forget. We had this on Thursday night shir, we discussed Ma'ariv. So the Gemara calls it a reshus. Yet we know there's a chiyuv now. So what's the nature of that chiyuv? That is actually not so poshut, that's actually a machlokas rishonim. What does that mean, that it's a chiyuv? Does that, but whatever, I don't want to review that now. The point is, we have such a concept where things can start off as reshus, but kibloi, the Jewish people accepted it. The Jewish people have accepted it upon themselves. You'll ask me exactly when, exactly where. I don't know. The Jewish people accepted upon themselves that we're going to go out of our way to put on a four-corner garment called a talis cotton, tzitzis, and we're going to wear it. Therefore, one of those two similar reasons, says the Or HaZeruah, it essentially has become a chiyuv. I'll say to me, yeah, but if midaraisa it's not, so why is it le? The answer is, as we have repeated in other contexts, because the whole berachas hamitzvos, the fact that there is even a bracha to begin with, the whole institution of brachos before mitzvos, is only made a rabbanon. So the same rabbanon who had said, now you got to wear tzitzis, so then they said, oh, so then I guess it should be, again, in the Or HaZeruah scheme of things, it has to be lehis atef. So that's one possibility of, at least on a derabbanon or a minig level, of creating a little bit more obligation. Before we move on to some other specific details of hilchos tzitzis, just to mention the shitas haRambam, which on the one hand, by the time we get to the end in his comment on tzitzis, it does seem to be clear, but before you get there, it's a little bit muddled. The Rambam, as we've mentioned many times, has his mitzvahs asay, where he divides up mitzvahs asay and mitzvahs los asay. We've pointed out that sometimes there's the PS to that. The PS is often the Ramban, who includes at the end of the mitzvahs, these are the mitzvahs that not only was the Rambam wrong about in a detail, but he forgot to mention. And the Ramban lists a whole... But the truth is, what's not as well known is that the Rambam himself has a section after the mitzvahs asay. He's already counted up all of the 248 mitzvahs asay. And he then has a section in which he collects 60 mitzvahs, which normal people, and just in case anyone's wondering if they're normal, he more or less defines as if you live in a city, you're not alone, you do business, you're not like a hermit or anything like that, you're married and you have children. If you live a relatively normal life, there are 60 mitzvahs which everyone is going to be absolutely chayav in. What are one of the 60 that he lists? Tzitzis. Wow. So you'll say, on the one hand, that sounds like, well, maybe it is a chiyuv. But then you'll say, yeah, but you know what one of the other 60 is? Mezuzah. No one's obligated to live in a house. You could live in a tent, and then you would never be chayiv in mezuzah, as the Rambam himself paskins in Hilchos Brachos. Yet, l'chor, that's not a dechiyah, because we can make a very interesting, I think, an easy chiluk. And that is, a normal person, under normal circumstances, lives in a house, and therefore is going to be obligated in a mezuzah. But a person could live an entirely normal life, especially given today's style of clothing, and never be obligated to wear tzitzis. The fact that nevertheless, the Rambam includes this in one of the 60 mitzvahs which everyone must do, perhaps points, and surprisingly, but points in the direction that there's some level of chiyuv. This impression that we get is strengthened when you look at the Rambam in, of all places, Hilchos Shavuos. That's not the Chag of Shavuos, that's to take a Shavua, to take an oath. Perek Aleph Halacha Vav, famous discussion that from a Gemara, that very interesting discussion. What if a person takes a Shavua not to fulfill a mitzvah? So he gives it up, leave aside the psak, it doesn't work, Mishmo Omeid. But what's the example? The Rambam is a good teacher, he gives you examples. So the Rambam says, well, if a person swore not to wear tzitzis, or put on tefillin, or sit in a sukkah on sukkahs, or eat matzah on Pesach. So everything else in that list is an absolute chiyuv. And the Rambam includes tzitzis in this list. If you took these two makars from the Rambam, it sounds like, fascinatingly, he holds that there's some kind of a chiyuv. Now, as opposed to Mrs. Asay.
Yeah.
With that, you can't say that for. Because, again, as we said, why can't you just dress in other clothing?
No, if a person makes a shvua...
I accept that they're possible to chiyuv for the shvuas, but the mashmos of the Mrs. Asay, of the Sefer Mitzvahs is still there.
Yes.
And this also still is... The truth is, though, all of this is nice. Maybe it's good to yuk. The bottom line is, where should we look? We should look at the Rambam and Hilchos Tzitzis. And the Rambam and Hilchos Tzitzis in Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Aleph, basically tells us, even though it is not obligatory to buy a talis and wear it in order to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis, nevertheless, you should do it. It's appropriate. It's pious. You should not exempt yourself. Rather, you should try to wear a garment that obligates yourself in mitzvahs, especially during tefillah. You have to be particularly careful. It's a special merit. And then he goes on to say, a Talmid Chacham who doesn't wear when he's davening, it's a special Chil Hashem, it's a disgrace. And then he concludes that everyone, not just the Talmid Chacham, everyone should be careful to perform this mitzvah, since the Torah says all mitzvahs Shabbat Torah, as we got through saying from Rashi and from the Chumash, are dependent on this. So this, l'chora, this is, you know, direct, unambiguous, against the previous implications. The great contemporary scholar of the Rambam, Taimani scholar of Yosef Kapach, so he was so bothered by this, he thinks there's no way to resolve the stira. He thinks the Rambam changed his mind. I would love to have a different answer to this question. I don't have one. So if anyone else, again, perhaps it's just perhaps the real answer is to just be Docha, the Mashmaos of the earlier Makoros. Okay, I'm not sure, but he certainly saw this as a serious problem. He didn't have an answer. The bottom line is, the unambiguous Hechel Sefer Mitzvah's comments have obviously takes the day. If you had to pick. The question is, we don't usually like to have to pick with the Rambam. We like to usually try to somehow have our cake and eat it too. I don't have an answer for that. So, be that as it may, this we'll call our introductory topic for tonight. Probably not an absolute chiyuv, certainly a very good thing, perhaps a chiyuv midrabanan, perhaps a chiyuv mitam minhog, but certainly a very good thing, and as we saw from at least two Gemaras, you're risking serious punishment in one way or another if you're not wearing tzitzis. But moving beyond that, when we talk about the fact that, okay, I'm not obligated to wear tzitzis, it's a chovas beged, if I have a four-corner garment, then the beged is chayiv. So the question I'd like to now discuss is, what constitutes a beged? I don't mean specifically rounded corners versus 90-degree angles, that is an issue of halacha, but that's not for now. I want to discuss material of garments, ultimately getting to an important issue, especially in the summer months, as it was specifically asked to Moshe Feinstein in a number of shuvas. It's hot out, so you want to wear the synthetic, lightweight tzitzis. So what constitutes a beged in order to say you fulfilled the mitzvah? So the pasuk which we had just read, let's review it again, pasuk lamed ches, for asu lehem tzitzis al kanfei bigdeihem. Stresses that it has to be a beged. The Gemara Menachos and Daflamet Tessam Bebei says there is a machlokes what constitutes a beged. We know that it's got to be a formal category because the Torah stresses it. But what, Vosmeitus, what is a beged? So one opinion says, based on other areas of halacha, which we'll see from Tumantara and other places, that a beged is two things. Wool or linen. Not together. We're not getting, that's a different tzitzis topic with the teles and kilayim, but assuming that we're talking now about separate, a wool beged or a linen beged, that is chayiv. Everything else is not chayiv. Which psukim? Who said? Well, I didn't hear the first. Yeah. And therefore, what? What's the therefore? Oh, okay, that's one opinion. There's a second mandamer in the Gemara, though. It says no. Whatever, you'll see the Gemara there for the limud and the machlokas. Bottom line, the second Gemara says no. Any beged is a beged. Yechayiv. How do we paskin? And this is very important, Shiloh. And it's a little bit tricky. You'll see, from a certain perspective, it's a chiyuv. From a certain perspective, or a chumrah. In other words, if I stop right now, I would say, which sheet does the chumrah, which sheet does the kula? So if you're asking me, al chiyuv, if I'm wearing such and such a beged, do I have to have tzitzis on it? So the first sheet is a big kula. Only if I'm wearing wool or linen, do I have to put tzitzis on it. But if I'm wearing anything else, I don't. If you ask me from another perspective, in what way, what do I have to do to be yotze? So then, that's a, on the contrary, that's a big chumra. You have to be wearing wool. So, kula and chumra, I'll try to be careful, but it's a little bit tricky. I'll try to be clear. So Tosfos and Daf Mem test, their quotes that both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam paskin lachumra from the perspective of obligation. Namely, they hold like the second opinion, that virtually all types of begadim, all materials, are chayiv. The Rosh, if you look in the back of Maseches Menachos, the Rosh has a number of areas of halacha called the Halachos Ketanos. So he has a whole section there called Hilchos Tzitzis. The Rosh and Hilchos Tzitzis on Simen Yud Ches, ditto. Paskins like this second opinion that all materials are obligatory. However, the Rif, also in his Hilchos Tzitzis in the Menachos, as well as the Rambam, who very often follows the Rif, the Sephardic Psak, Paskin, if you will, quote, Lakula, meaning like the first opinion. You're only obligated if you have wool or linen. However, the Rambam does add, and we do assume this lahalacha, even according to his opinion, that everyone will agree that all materials are chayiv mid rabbanon. At this point, it's only a machlokas. what's obligated mida oraisa. So how do we paskin a Shulchan Aruch? So Shulchan Aruch, right in the beginning of Simen Tes, right in the beginning of the whole Shulchan Aruch, Simen Tes, Shulchan Aruch tells us, if you will, quote, Lakula, i.e. he follows the Rambam and the Rif, the Sephardic Psak, that only wool and linen. The Ramah, if you will, paskins l'chumra, like Rashi, like Tosus, like the Rosh. Namely, any material becomes obligatory. Now the Mishnah Brura, he's the one, until now you're thinking kul and chumra the way I've been describing it. It's when you get to the Mishnah Brura that you shift a little bit, because the Mishnah Brura says, a yore shamayim should try to use wool or linen to be yotze all the shitas. So as I say, from the perspective of am I yotze or not, the first opinion became the chumra. I have to have dafka wool. Now, as we had said before momentarily, it's a mitzvah, or chiv, whatever you want to call it, either way. The only machlokas is the araisa or the rabbanon. So what's the chiv? What's the nafkamina, excuse me? So the easiest nafkamina, so the Mishnah Brura there in Sifkat and Gimel says, I'll give you three nafkaminas. First of all, it's better to fulfill a mitzvah on the araisa level. And on the rabbanon level, it's better. But I'll give you really practical nafkaminas. He says, what if, again, I didn't get into it, I alluded to it, but let's say there's certain begadim where, based on their shape, it's not clear, it's a suffix whether such a begad is obligated in sittis or not. So if you hold it, it's only a chiv the rabbanon given the material, so then you can be makel, you don't have to put sittis on it. But if you hold it's a chiv d'araisa, you'll have to be machmir, you'll have to put sittis on it. And the third nafkamini, he says, is, let's say you're walking down the block, and all of a sudden, let's say you're someone who wears your sittis out. Sittis are out, and all of a sudden, it gets caught on a branch, or on a thing. You didn't realize it, you keep on walking, yank. Sittis get ripped off. So you're wearing a four-corner garment without sittis. Now, forget mitzvahs, d'oraisa, you're doing an avera, the oraisa, assuming that it's a wool linen or a d'rabbanan, that's the question. So, on the other hand, let's assume classic Gemara time, it's your poncho, whatever you want to call it that they wore. It's very, very, or even if it's not, what am I going to do? I can't walk anymore. I have to take it off. Am I going to take off my shirt? To take off my tzitzis? They're going to see there's a hole in my undershirt. That'll be very embarrassing. Kavod HaBrios. Kavod HaBrios. So Kavod HaBrios is not an all-powerful heter. Kavod HaBrios, in such a case, will only be allowed to be operative if it's a derabanan. So says the Mishnah Berurah, it depends. If the material garment you're wearing was a derabanan dekav beged, so then in such a case, kavod habrios will trump it. But if you're wearing your wool tzitzis, the kuliyama, that's daraisa, so then you're in big trouble. You got to take off the tzitzis even if you're embarrassed. Even if you're embarrassed. The Prima Gadim there has some other nafkaminas. Just parenthetically, the Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva has an interesting question. I didn't see others ask it, but it could be they do. Assuming that there are some begadim that are only derabanan, so why would Chazal do that? And if you assume that there's a special limit, we didn't get to yet why. We're going to get it there momentarily. Why would you limit it to wool? But assuming that you do, so then why can't we just say, okay, on kanvasula, why did there have to be a chiv derabanan on everything else? On cotton, which is the most common alternative, cotton tzitzis, why is there a chiv derabanan at all? So Moshe Feinstein raised, just interestingly, he raises two possible reasons. One possibility is because, perhaps, if I tell you don't have to wear it for cotton, so you'll know that cotton I don't have to, but that'll be the first week. But then the second week, the second month, the second year, you'll forget. You'll put on a wool, and you'll make a mistake, you'll be over deraisa. That's his first suggestion. His other suggestion is more, if you will, proactive, namely, could we know all of the makaros we began the shir with, from Rashi, Shekula L'kol Tarakula, etc., that great bonanza of Zechuyos, we want you, even if it's only at the Rabbanah level, we want you to have as many maximal opportunities as possible to get all that schar for wearing tzitzis. So if we said it's only for wool, so then that would only be for the people who were, in the winter wearing wool tunics. But in the summer, if they're wearing cotton, so then they're not going to have a schus. Come along to the Rabbanah and say, no, even put tzitzis on that, at least at the Rabbanah level, you'll get all these Zechuyos. Now, let's take a step back for a moment, and this will be our transition, the way we pivot, I hope, to the issue of the synthetic garments, which is, I think, a very practical shiloh. I assume if you go into virtually any Judaica store, virtually any, they are selling these types of begadim. On the other hand, there's also begadim, which are a different type of shiloh, again, not for tonight, But my son is wearing them, so at least for my five-year-old, I'm certainly mekel. You know these kinds, I forget they're called in Eretz Yisrael, where it is the t-shirt. Yeah. It's this very comfortable, lightweight t-shirt. Right. Yeah. So they, why do they go out of their way on the packaging to have haskamas? I forget already who, I don't want to misquote anybody. Because some people hold, you can't wear it. It's not yotzei, it's not mechubadik, it's your undershirt, it's not a beged, whatever. So there are all sorts of shilas that could come up. That's a practical shila. That'll be sold in stores. You have to know, can you buy that? And certainly different materials that mesh tzitzis, which is obviously the most lightweight. Many stores sell that. So those are the practical shilas. So to pivot to that, let's discuss something that's already discussed in the Gemara, even though it's not so practical for us, but it'll be very intriguing, I think, and it'll get us to where we want to go. The Gemara says on Daf Mem Amud Beis in Menachos, that even according to that opinion that said that it all begadim, not just wool and linen, it really should be virtually all, because there's one very big exception, leather. If you have a garment that's made of leather, and I'll just point out to say that the Magen Avraham adds, even if it's only rove of leather, but if you have a garment that's made of leather, right, it's a leather coat, four-cornered leather coat, leather jacket. Are you wearing, I don't know, you see some people with leather pants, why can't they wear leather shirts? I don't know, people wear leather. It's not my thing, but people wear leather.
Motorcycle.
Right, the Frum motorcycle gang, what are they going to do? Right. Right. How did they be, you'll ask me, how did they be a Frum motorcycle gang? They went to the high school where they got a patch when they asked about wearing scissors. But then they mellowed, and now they're wearing leather, and now, 20 years later, they want to wear scissors on the leather. Now we have a case. So look it up, the Gemara Menachos says you don't need to. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Shulchan Aruch Siman Yud, Siftalid, when there's a leather beged, no need. Why? So if you'll say it's only wool, so then that's the answer, because it's wool and nothing else. But Laman de Omar, that everything else is Chayiv, which is happens to be the Sheet of many Rishonim, and the Sheet of the Ramah, so why is it many other with the exclusion of leather? But do we just pick on the Harley Davidson Chevra? So there's two answers given in the Achronim. The Chochmas Adam and the Aruch HaShulchan say, you know something, we're not picking on anyone, we don't have anything against leather, we're not from those, you know, people, yeah, animal rights activists, nothing to do with that. It's a formal Gzeiras HaKosuv. After all, the Pasuk says in Vayikra, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Beis, regard to Tumen Tara, O Beged, O Or. So the very fact that it says beged and then or, you see that an or, leather, is not considered a beged, or else it would have been included, like all other materials, under the category of beged. So who knows why? It's a mystery of the Rabbanu Shalom. But the bottom line is, they say, the Chochmas Adam, the Aruch HaShulchan, leather garments are not considered begadim. So if that's the case, our Pasuk and our Parsha says you need to have begdechem, it has to be on your beged. Leather is not going to be chayiv in tzitzis. The Levush...
Another Pasuk says, O beged or O sa. Like burlap or canvas.
Right.
Which is cotton.
Right. Is that what burlap is?
I think.
Yeah. No?
What's burlap?
You'll take this outside after the show.
No, the reason I say that.
I understand. That would exclude that too.
Right, which.
Right, which I did. So maybe I don't.
But sack is a different.
And economy, that might be part of it. But regular cotton is not excluded.
There's one thing I think that says begad or, and then there's another that says begad or suck, right?
Okay, the Balakriya can. And the technical geniuses will figure this out. But for now, we're just going to leave it as a question, okay? For anyone who has burlap scissors. There's a market there. There's a market there, I bet you. Okay. The Levush, as well as the Rav Shulchan Aruch, the Balatan, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, they have a different answer. They say it's not some objective, illogical, Gzeiras HaKosuv. No, there's a Svara. What's the Svara? It's a Svara that I don't know if I would have thought it. I wouldn't call it an intuitive Svara, but it's a rationale. Namely, the Levush says that the definition of a beged is something that is woven. In his language, I'll just read you the short little phrase, kol dover hane'erag v'na'ase beged. It has to be made. It has to be woven. If you have a material that's woven, that's a beged. Leather, where you strip it off the animal, you may tan it and do whatever you got to do with it, but you don't weave it. Says a Levush, that's the rationale, that's why it's excluded.
What have anything to do with being able to weave a kabel tuma?
This is relevant. This is absolutely relevant. We're going to get to that in a second. Absolutely relevant.
That's the mashmash, but it says,
again, their point was not even about tzitzis, just in general. that, yeah, leather is not a beged. That pasuk in Vayikra is Tumatara. Oh,
okay.
But you're right, it definitely works perfectly with sittas. Right. So now, let's bring this together all the way until the modern times now. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was the first person who was asked this shaila about these different modern garments. He was asked, what about synthetic garments? Nylon, polyester, I don't know if that would be comfortable, but rayon, these are all, some of them are very comfortable. So says Rav Tzvi Pesach, based on the lavush, that it's all about being woven. So he says, and again, I don't know anything independently, but what he says is, there's two different procedures, two different processes for making these garments. Sometime they make this huge thing, and then they cut it to size.
Like a poncho.
Other times, he says, in fact, they make it into threads and then weave it.
Polyester shirt.
Therefore, says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, it all goes based on the lavush. If it's a garment that was made, which he says is the rarer kind.
It all goes based on the lavush? Was that a play on words?
No. He says, if it's one of the rarer times where the garment was made by one big piece just cut up, so then it's not woven. If it's not woven, it's not a beged, it's not chayiv. But if it was that they took these microfibers of polyester, etc., and then wove them like they would have cotton or wool or linen or any other natural fiber, so why should it be? Well, you know, we're not gonna, we're not elitists. We're not against synthetics. Why not? It's woven. You're chayiv. Rabbeinu Shteif and his shuvas seems to say the same thing because he says he was asked about it. He says, "Oh, synthetic, it's putter because it's not woven." But the implication is he holds like a Tzvi Pesach Frank. But if it would be woven, which apparently is most of the time anyway, they hold it's chayiv. Because it's a machlokas. And it's a machlokas anyway. We'll see. Not everyone's going to agree to this. But this is a middle. I start with Tzvi Pesach Frank because he's the first person who discussed it. But you'll see as we're about to conclude that he's actually the middle position. If I was going in the order of Kula L'Chumra or Chumra L'Kula, I wouldn't have started with him. He's right in the middle. But he started the Sugya. So on one extreme, the most well-known other approach is the ones who disagree with him, L'Chumra, and reject outright any possibility of synthetic garments. And the Avuha, the High Shmaita, the one who led this battle in multiple tshuvas, was Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein in his first tshuva in Chelek Beis of Orach Chaim, and then also, not as well known, but also in Chelek Gimel, coincidentally enough, I think it's Siman Aleph as well, he, very lumdisha, fascinating, shayla, tshuva, he comes out, guns blasting, and he says, nothing doing. What about this lavush? So he says, you're not understanding the lavush. He says, any garment that can be made without weaving it isn't halachic beged, even if the one in question was woven. And there's other garments, how are you going to get, you know, you shear the wool. The only possible way to turn that into a garment is through weaving. But leather, in theory, I'm sorry, not in theory, leather, so 99% of the time, or most likely, you chop it up, you cut it up to size after you've taken it off the animal. In theory, you'll say, and this is discussed, we'll see momentarily, what if you took a piece of leather and you cut it up into millions of microfibers and then use those as threads and then wove those. So says Rav Moshe, I have a raya for you. There's a Mishnah in Kalim. The Mishnah Yomis. Are you up to Kalim?
No.
Get a while. That's a long sechta. Parak Chav Zayin, Mishnah Aleph. The Mishnah in Kalim says if you thinly cut strips of leather and they're woven into a garment, that garment is still not subject to certain hilchos tuma, which we're not getting into at all, that are discussed there, that are uniquely hilachos for woven garments. But I wove leather into it. Leather is not a beged, even when it's woven. According to the Levush, isn't the whole definition of beged just about weaving? Says Rav Moshe, yes, but you have to understand what that means. It means that any garment that could have been made, any material that could be made into a garment without weaving, even though in this particular case I went out of my way to cut it in little pieces and weave it, but since I could have, and in fact most commonly do, but since I could have even, according to Moshe, that's all you need. If you could make a garment without weaving it, ice beged. It's no longer considered.
So wool would fit into that category today also?
Who? How?
Well, you know, those army wool blankets, they're not woven.
How are they made?
They're pressed together with glue. That's how they use. That's how they recycle. How do they recycle?
Okay, I have no idea. Okay.
All these things are. I mean, once you add glue to the, once you add glue to any kind of glue to the thing, you
is that true? I don't know. Okay, I don't know. I don't know what I don't know. Or should I say, I do know what I don't know, and I don't know that.
So the polyester, these synthetic things, don't they have to be woven also?
No, but Rav Moshe says, since, as Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank already told us, they can be made without being woven. Apparently.
Okay.
So do you have this big? However they make it, I got to go to a factory to see how this works. But right, if you make, so since it could have been made that way, says Rav Moshe, therefore, even if a given case it isn't, it doesn't matter. It's always not a mitzvah. On the other extreme, now, just to tell you that there are, this is a major machlokas. You have the full gamut. The Tzitz Eliezer. The Tzitz Eliezer is a tshuva, chelik yud beis. Right. So, and cotton is the quintessential. I'm not sorry, wool, but yeah, but still cotton, yes. So Tzitz Eliezer says, really, you're chayiv, especially if woven. But even if it wasn't woven, even if you took a big piece of polyester and chopped it up, he seems to say you're chayiv anyway. He just says you shouldn't make a bracha on such a baguette, but you still would be chayiv. What about the leather analogy that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank started and Rav Moshe Feinstein argued on, but even Rav Moshe accepted the leather analogy? Says Rav Tzitz Eliezer, no. Synthetic is better than leather. Because leather, when it was in its, quote, I wouldn't say grow, because we're not talking about a tree, but or a natural, but in its natural environment, it is made in such a way that it's from its essence, it's not a baguette. You'll come up with some crazy scenario where you cut it up into a million little pieces of threads. That the Torah is not going to let you change its definition. But from the outset, the Torah defined it as not. Whereas the polyester, the whole thing was made to be a baguette. So forget me the woven stuff. This is better than that. Even if you'll say the Levush is right about leather, but don't apply that. It's not analogous. This is better than that. This is always made to be a baguette.
So if you put tzitzit on leather, is that baltosif?
That's a good baltosif question.
No, because then it would apply according to these opinions that say don't put it on polyester or don't put it on.
In hachinami, it's a double-edged sword. Not every, you can't just say I want to be machmir and put it on. That's what you're asking. So that is the it's a major machlokas rishonim in terms of defining what baltosif is. I don't want to get into that now, but it could very well be according to certain shitas. Like I wouldn't say according to everyone. But when it searches, maybe, yeah, you might have a shayla. But that will have to have as a separate baltosif shir. I want to just conclude. So, Lumaisa, if you wonder about the synthetic things, the reason that many poskim say to stay away from him is because at best you're entering into a major machlokas haposkim. And especially in America, where we're so mushma for Moshe, he was very much against it. Now, since I'm very sympathetic, and even if I'm now telling you the minhag seems to be not to wear, if you can, let's put it that way, the very, very lightweight, there's still a difference between cotton and wool. So the question is, do I have to wear wool tzitzis? That would be very hot. That would be the most cool. As if we're telling me I can't wear the most lightweight stuff, but cotton tzitzis are right in the middle. So Rabbeinu Tam says in Tosfos, he talks about linen and other materials, which we had just thought through saying was really just as good as wool. Rabbeinu Tam says, really, for whatever reason, you shouldn't use it. And the Shulchan Aruch says, well, we don't really pass this Rabbeinu Tam, but a Yarei Shamayim, says the Shulchan Aruch, right, the magic words, the Yarei Shamayim should only wear wool.
That was the Mishnah Berurah.
The Shulchan Aruch. Right, this is what we call the erasing stripes, it's us. So, he says the Yarei Shamayim should do that. You know the erasing stripes, it's us, with the black? You never heard that phrase before? But that's not the real deal. Because then no one can see it through your white shirts. If you're going to sweat like that, people got to know. Again, not now. I got to finish. I'm running late. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, despite the fact that Shulchan Aruch says that, Rav Moshe Feinstein very, very extremely, I would say extreme tshuva, Rav Moshe accepts this chumrah. And Rav Moshe goes out of his way to say, even in the summer when you're hot, that's what they asked him about, you should go out of your way to wear wool tzitzis. That's a chumrah of Rav Moshe.
Can the Rav move his tie?
Well, let me first, let me say the next shita, then I will. The Vilna Gaon, however, says no. The Vilna Gaon does not accept this chumrah, and in fact, in the Maisa Rav, it is quoted that for his talis cotton, the Vilna Gaon wore cotton. The Vilna Gaon wore cotton.
I saw an S there.
So just I'll leave with you with. Okay. Yeah, okay. Just to give you three theories. I mean, it's interesting that they go out of the way. And apparently it was known, Bashaitu and for history, that the Vilna Gaon went out of his way to wear cotton scissors. So why? So I saw three theories, huh?
Ball.
who said you should wear tits when you're playing ball?
Everybody interprets history from their own lens.
So Rav Shmuel Salant, the great holy Rav Shmuel Salant, there's a sefer called Sefer Hilchos Hagra Umin Hagav. Rav Shmuel Salant is quoted, and he says, I have a better one. This one's not going to work for you, Joey. Apparently, again, I don't know what we know historically, but he says that the Vilna Gaon was known, he was always wearing a talus, and it was a wool talus. So he was schwitzing anyway. Don't worry about the grub. So he wanted an extra mitzvah meter rabbanon, so he went with the cotton. Just a few months ago, we had Chacham Bala Ir, right? Rav Scheinberg was here. You can ask Shilas now? I don't know. Special people do special things. What can I tell you? Rav Chaim Kanievsky is quoted. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is quoted that he heard that the family Masorah from the Chazon Ish is that he wanted to go out of his way to tell people, but Dafka, you should know, you're chayiv. He was making a point. He was a pshitanik. You should know, don't think that it's all or nothing. Cotton is chayiv too. Maybe mirabonim, maybe mirarais, that's a machlokas. But cotton is chayiv too. So therefore he says that's the masorah that he has. That's why he did it. And finally, the most historical-oriented, in the same Sefer Hilchos HaGra, they quote, that again, I'm not sure where this would come from, if it was a kiyum or not, but he said that the Gra wanted to wear the same material, tzitzis, as they usually wore for their begadim, perhaps a la the fact that the original halachos were the actual begad. It wasn't just some special begad, it was their actual tunic or whatever. So he wanted to wear the same material, and apparently in Vilna, in the time of the Gra, they wore cotton begadim. So if they can wear a cotton begadim, he went out of his way to wear cotton tzitzis. So minimally, I would say as follows. If you don't want to wear the synthetic, you don't want to get to that shayla, but certainly to wear cotton tzitzis, which I guess are the other strong thing on the rack, so that there seems to be very, very strong support for. Whether that's a chiv d'arayis, a chiv d'arabanan, that's a machlokes. But again, the whole thing is this as a kiyum, so certainly one has a right, if not in the winter, certainly in the summer, I think, to rely on the shitas, no less than the gra.
My father actually told me there's a new sefer of Nevinzel, the commentary in Mishnah Berurah.
Yeah, okay.
And he said over there that I think he quoted the Chazanish. I think it was the Chazanish. Maybe the gra would only wear cotton to shita, because based on the halacha by Kilayim, that if somebody's wearing a beg in a very...
It's another one of the answers that are given. They're worried, so you could get into a Kilayim shot.
It's not Levisha. Huh? It wouldn't be considered Levisha. If it's a hot day and you're wearing wool, and you're not benefiting from the wearing it, you're not becoming Levisha, so you wouldn't be becoming Mitzvah.
Okay, very good. I ain't Shum.